We're picking up on part two of the Law of the Spirit of Life. Now, I got into this last week. I'm going to say it again. The Law of the Spirit of Life kind of seems like a vague thing, but when you look at Romans 8, 1 and 2, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And when you begin to truly understand what "made me free from the law of sin and death" means, you'll understand that it's the key to this is the law of the Spirit of Life. You need to understand, you're either walking in the law of the Spirit of Life or you're walking in the law of sin and death. All right? There's no middle ground, people. There's no gray area with God. There's either you're walking in the law of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus or you're walking in the law of sin and death. All right, that there's no middle ground here. Now, where I started this whole teaching was talking about that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How God's been really showing me that we all have a tendency to walk around thinking that we're missing it, that something's off, that we're really missing it. All right, and Paul lays this out very clearly. He says there is therefore now no condemnation, no adverse sentence, no damnatory sentence, no condemnation, no verdict against us, all right, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I'm going to just, if I have to repeat this over and over again until you start to get it, I will. But we stop at "to those who are in Christ Jesus," okay? We tend to stop there and think that, you know, that's it. I'm in Christ now, so there's no condemnation to me. And yet we walk around, and if we're not walking according to the Spirit, but we're walking according to the flesh, you know, we're walking around, we're feeling some kind of condemnation. We're feeling like something's not right between us and God. And the reason it's not right and we feel that way is because we're not walking according to the Spirit. We're walking according to the flesh. And remember what I got into last week? I don't want to reteach it, but I got into this I got into it a couple of times and reinforced it. Is that the flesh is that animal nature? It's the sensuous nature of man. It's our human nature. It's our earthly nature, and it's our earthly nature apart from divine influence. All right, and just by the definition that Thayer gives here, it's that earthly nature of man apart from divine influence, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. All right, it's prone to sin. That nature is prone to sin and it's opposed to God. And even if you don't think you're sinning, now remember something. Remember the whole thing with the Pharisees that Jesus was dealing with them all the time was that they thought they were keeping the law perfectly. They thought that they were doing everything right, but yet they were totally in the flesh. And the reason they were totally in the flesh was because they did not recognize Jesus. They didn't hear his words. They didn't respond to him when he came. And they actually ended up crucifying him because of that. All right? So they did not respond. They did not want to hear. But yet they thought they were fine. They thought they were okay with God. And yet they weren't. And it's because they were walking according to that earthly nature that's not connected. It's apart from the divine influence of God. It's apart from God's influence in their lives. And so it was prone to sin, but it was opposed to God. So even though they had the kind of willpower to do what they thought was the right things, they still had inside of them all of this greed. They had all of this covetousness. They had hatred. They had all these things going on the inside of them, even though on the outside of them, they looked like they were totally right. But the inside of them was full of dead man's bones. They were filled with corruption and decadence and all kinds of things. And they were filled with pride. They were filled with, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? That they're just constantly seeking recognition from men, and thinking that is what makes them, what would make them, you know, great in the eyes of God. And that was their problem. And on the outside, they looked fine. They were like, Jesus said they were like painted sepulchres, where on the outside they looked great, but on the inside they were filled with dead men's bones, full of corruption, full of decay, full of death, all right? And that's what we have got to understand. It's more and more I'm starting to understand people. It's not how we exactly, I mean, whether or not we're doing anything right or wrong. A lot of what we deal with is what's going on inside of us. What is happening inside of us, all right? And so I'm going to get into that today. I'm going to get into that more and more. But this whole point of this is the key to walking according to the Spirit is that we're walking according to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Not some idea of spirit, not our human spirit, but the Spirit of God. And that's what where I think we get the idea that, you know, if we're doing just what we think is right in our heart, then we're okay. That's not true. We've got to be walking in accordance with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, and that's where this is going. I want to lay this foundation again today because it's been a couple of weeks and you might have forgotten. But I want to lay this foundation again that walking in the flesh makes us prone to sin and puts us in opposition to God. And whether you think you're sinning or not, if you're just living in a fleshly way, you're not living according to the Spirit of God. In other words, there's something active going on if you're walking and living according to the Spirit of God. All right? It you know, there's something that's actively going on, and a lot of it could be internal. A lot of it is internal, and that's the defining point here, is what's going on inside of us. And if what's going on inside of us is predominantly fleshly things or just worldly things, and it's not predominantly spirit things according to the Spirit of God, then we're in the flesh, all right? And so that opposition, we're in that state of opposition of God. And it's that state of opposition that's going on in us that is actually what condemns us in our hearts. That's what's condemning us inside. That's what's making us feel like we're alienated from God, is because we're not actively walking in the Spirit. We're not actively living in the Spirit, according to the Spirit. We're not after the Spirit. All of these things are the same thing. Walking after the Spirit, walking according to the Spirit, living according to the Spirit, you know, being according to the Spirit. All of those things are the same thing. And so we've got to make sure that what's going on inside of us is more and more according to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to just say it like that. It's more and more according to the Holy Spirit, what's going on inside of us. And we're going to see this right now, all right? And so I'm going to pick up on Romans 8:5 here, and we're going to keep going. Now, understand that we're going after the Holy Spirit. You know, we're not just going after quote-unquote spiritual things. We're going after the Holy Spirit. This is the main thing that God began to show me out of Romans 8:1 through, you know, however far down we go, that he began to show me is that our lives are not according to quote unquote spiritual things. Our lives are directly connected to the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Remember, Jesus gives this whole thing in John 13 through about John 15, 16, somewhere in there. He talks about the Holy Spirit, the helper who was to come and help us. Most believers today are not walking according to the Holy Spirit. They're walking according to ideas that they think are spiritual. You're to live day by day connected to the person of the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, as I've studied this more and more, and I began to see that this is exactly what this is about, is being in the Spirit, being connected to the Holy Spirit, walking in accordance and living in accordance with the Holy Spirit. When I began to see that it was the Holy Spirit rather than some spiritual idea, it was a revelation to me. It really helped me a lot in the sense of understanding that I'm actually living connected to a person. I've got to be interacting with this person. I've got to be walking with this person and according to this person. And if you're going to walk after Jesus, you're going to walk in accordance with the Holy Spirit. It's not just some rules and regulations set down for us that if we do these things, then we're okay. No, it's the condition of our being. It's who we are inside. It's what we're going after internally. And you're going to see this right now. So picking up on this, you know, we're set free, you know, above here, you know, in verses 3 and 4, you know, it says what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And I caught this time around, sinful flesh. Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, he had the total capability of sinning, but he never did. You know, he didn't come in the likeness of perfect flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Because he did not sin, and because he lived his life, you know, in perfect harmony with God and in perfect obedience to God, he was able to condemn sin in the flesh. And he did it for the whole purpose of not putting us down or, you know, putting us in judgment, but so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So he did it all so that it might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the whole purpose of the day of Pentecost wasn't just something that happened and now you got the Holy Spirit in you and you're just kind of, you know, whatever happens, and if you feel the Spirit move. No, there's a purpose and a life that we're called to walk in the Spirit of God. I mean, and this is really, really important for us to understand that if you spend your day thinking about mostly natural things, you're in the flesh, and you need to know that. Well, Pastor, I'm not sinning. I'm not doing anything. I don't care. God doesn't care. Your mind is running according to the flesh, to natural things, to earthly things. And if you're living your life according to earthly things, then you are in the flesh and you're living according to the flesh. And God is telling us that the only way we can get free from that law of sin and death and get free from, and the law of sin and death and implies all of the effects of that sin and death, the condemnation of it, you know, the curse of it, all of that. All right, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, but then, you know, that's a reality, but just living by faith in that and thinking that, you know, well, you know, I believe that and you know, I can just go about my business and do my thing and I'm okay. That's not going to be the case. So many times people come to us for prayer and they've been living their whole time in the flesh. They have not been living towards the Spirit at all. They have not been giving themselves towards the Spirit of God at all. And then they come to us and they expect, you know, for us to be able to work a miracle for them. And you know what? Sometimes God can, but sometimes God can't. And that's not, it has nothing to do with God's ability. You know, God can do all things. You know, all things are possible with God. But sometimes for us, it's not possible because of what we put ourselves into, where we put ourselves. Amen? And, you know, if you're looking at Jesus as just get out of jail free card, you're already still committed to living in the flesh. And you have to understand that. All right? But that the verse 4 goes on to say that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So even Paul qualifies that for us, that righteous requirement is only fulfilled for us because we're walking according to the Spirit. If we're not walking according to the Spirit, if we're walking according to the natural, then the righteous requirement of the law is not fulfilled for us. So it's this place where, you know, once you're in it, doesn't mean you stay in it forever. You can fall in and out of it depending on whether or not how you're walking. All right? And that's why things happen like that in our lives. Things can, you know, there can be issues and problems and things arise because, you know, if we're in a place where we're walking according to the flesh, well, then, you know, we're in trouble, okay? You know, and if we're walking according to Spirit, then things are going to go well with us. And that's what God's telling us, man. Now, let's get into this more down here, all right? Verse 5 goes on to say, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So this is fundamentally what defines whether or not we're in the flesh or whether or not we're in the Spirit. It's what we're setting our minds on. All right? For those who live according to the flesh. Now, let me tear this down. The New King James does not translate this correctly. That's not what it's saying in the Greek. In the Greek, it's saying actually, it's a combination of two words. It's the word on which is being, or and then kata, which is after. So it's actually saying those who being or are kata after the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. All right, so it's this is not really talking about living according to. This is much more aggressive. It's much more in the moment. Those who are after the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So what's defining you being after the flesh or me being after the flesh? It's us setting our minds on the things of the flesh. Now remember the word flesh there, it's the word body, it's the sensuous nature of man, the animal nature. The animal nature with cravings, which incite to sin. The flesh, it denotes mere human nature. The earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. And that's where I stopped there, just to kind of remind you guys. So, you know, we're always, you know, the flesh always has cravings for things that can incite to sin, okay? But if you are according to the flesh, you're constantly dealing with that inciting. You know, you're being incited to the flesh, to sin. You're constantly being provoked to sin, all right? And then it also denotes the whole mere human nature, the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. Now listen to me very carefully. If you're after the flesh, if you've got your mind on the things of the flesh, if you've set your mind on the things of the flesh, you need to understand that by doing that, you immediately limit yourself to natural things and natural means. You know, and that's why sometimes some people, you know, something happens, the last thing they do is pray. And then that becomes as a matter of, you know, last ditch effort, you know, to go to God and see if God can make a change to this. When a person is after the flesh or according to the flesh, all right, you need to understand that, you know, that mere human nature, instantly you look at yourself as being limited to just what is available to you naturally. And so, you know, if something happens, you get injured, you run to the hospital first. You go to the hospital, all right? And I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the hospital, but you tend to limit yourself to those kinds of things. If you get a headache, you take an aspirin. If you feel sick, you go out and you buy a bunch of things off the counter and you start taking them. And you know, you just do your best to kind of work your way through it. But the person who is after the flesh, they don't even really consider praying. And even if they do consider praying, they're not really expecting God to move on their behalf. There's this kind of dulled expectation towards God in that sense, because you've been in the flesh. I know that for a fact, because there have been times when I've been in the flesh, and being in the flesh, when I've been after the flesh, I find myself not really expecting, you know, God to respond to me, because I've been in the flesh and I know it. I'm already under that condemnation. And in some cases, you know, I've been resistant to spiritual things. I've been in opposition to that. I've been not open to it. You know, and it can go there, all right? It can get to that point if you're not careful. And so what God's trying to do is get us out from underneath the control of the flesh, which is going to take an aggressive action on our part to get our minds off the things of the flesh and start getting our minds on the things of the Spirit. And that's exactly what Paul's saying here in verse 5. He says, for those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. And the word set their minds is actually one word. It's the word phroneo. And it means to exercise the mind. By implication, it means to be mentally disposed more or less earnestly in a certain direction. In other words, your mind is disposed to just thinking about carnal things and fleshly things and natural things. All right? In a certain direction. Intensively, it means to interest oneself in with concern or obedience. In other words, your interest is in the flesh. You're looking to follow those things. You're concerned with having those things. And that's what it really means. Now Vine goes on to define that whole thing of phroneo as signifying to think, to be minded in a certain way, to think of or be mindful of. And that's what I like this a lot also, because even though I'm being disposed towards thinking about fleshly things, if you find yourself thinking about fleshly things all the time, you're according to the flesh. You need to understand that. And it's causing opposition towards God because of that. And that's why that condemnation tends to come. So if you're setting your mind on the things of the flesh, then you know you're in that space. All right. Now, to be mindful of, and the reason why I brought this in is to think, to be minded in a certain way. If you know you find yourself, your thoughts always running to just natural things, running to fleshly things, to carnal things. You know, I mean, if you find yourself always thinking, you know, just about negative things about people, or you just antagonistic, you're upset and frustrated, and you're holding that in your mind, you're continuing to hold those things in your mind. You find yourself being mindful of negative things, of dark things, of carnal things, of natural things. And sometimes just, you know, how can I just go out and have fun? You know, you got to understand that that's sin. Just living your life to go have fun is sin. You know, it's I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 10. I would go look at that. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 10, but it talks about how Israel was made an example for us to follow. And you know how they were in the flesh, they ate and they drank and they rose up to play. They were given to the flesh. That's the flesh. They eat and they drink and they rise up to play. If that's the kind of person you find yourself being and you're thinking on that level all the time, you got to just call it what it is. You're in according to the flesh. Now, on the other side of that, if you're according to the Spirit, then you're going to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You're going to find yourself being mindful of God. You're going to find yourself specifically being mindful of the Holy Spirit. And I really want to make that clear, that we're talking about you being mindful of the Holy Spirit. You being minded in that way to interest yourself in with concern and obedience to the Holy Spirit. You know, what's he saying? What's he doing? Where's, you know, well, Pastor, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Well, that's because you're living according to the flesh. You know, you're after the things of the flesh. Your mind is set on things that are just natural all the time. This is not something that, this is something that we have to stay in. We have to get in and stay in that place where we're, our minds, you know, we're setting our minds on the things of the Spirit of God. You know, we're being minded. We're disposing our thinking process to the things of the Spirit of God. And we got to learn to do that and not get out of that, to stay in that as much as possible. We all have a tendency, I mean, just naturally, when you think about it, we live in this planet. We live on a day-by-day basis. We all work. We all have things that we have to do. And, you know, when I'm at work, you know, my concern, you know, and I'm giving myself to my concern is my job. And that's a very natural thing. All right? But, and that's okay with God. It's just that what God wants us, he wants us to be running after the Spirit as much as possible, to be mindful of that, to be remembering of that, to be reminded of that, all right? To be disposed to thinking about the Spirit of God. In other words, when you're not dealing with something natural like washing your clothes or taking a shower or, you know, brushing your teeth or making dinner or, you know, cleaning the house or, you know, going to work or whatever, you find your mind running towards the things of God. That's the place where you want to be in. This is where God is calling us to, is to where no matter what we're doing naturally, once we get our stuff done, we find ourselves running towards the Spirit, running towards the Holy Spirit, being setting ourselves, being disposed, and finding ourselves drifting over to the Holy Spirit. And if you do that enough, it eventually, even while you're working, even while you're doing natural things, you find yourself in your mind being mindful of the Holy Spirit. And that's where rich things begin to happen, people. I've seen this so many times at work, no matter what job I've had. Because if when I am after the things, when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm going after the things of the Holy Spirit, as I'm doing that, I find myself all of a sudden in my mind, the Holy Spirit starts talking to me and starts helping me with my work during the day. You know, to make sure I get things done and done right. If I'm running into a problem, he gives me a solution. He shows me what to do. And then it becomes a very active thing between him and I. So even though I'm doing natural things and I'm doing that, I'm being natural, but with the influence of God in my life. Because see, that's what carnal is. It's the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. But we're earthly and we're natural. And when we start putting our mind on the things of the Spirit, all of a sudden God's influence begins to happen in our lives. And it stays consistent when we do this. It's funny, when I stop and take time to read my word, you know, read my scriptures, and then I read the word, and then I pray, you know, it. And no matter when I do that, it's hilarious because I find all of a sudden this kick up, you know, spiritual thing kicks into motion, and there's this connection to the Holy Spirit, this connection to God in that way. It's really a very powerful thing. And it goes on to say in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. So to be carnally, it's just the word sarx, you know, it's being minded. Carnally minded is actually the word sarx. It's the same word carnally there as the word flesh. Exact same word, and minded or of mind is the word phronema there. To be carnally or fleshly minded is phronema. Now the verb is phroneo, to have your mind running after these things. Phronema is the state of your mind, the mental inclination or purpose. For to be fleshly minded with the mental inclination or purpose towards the flesh, you know, that is death. Now that mental inclination or purpose is Strong's definition of phronema. Their's definition of phronema is what one has in the mind, the thoughts and purposes. What one has in the mind, the thoughts and the purposes. And I've noticed that if I carry a thought or a purpose of the flesh in my mind, and I find myself inclined to behave in that, to regulate myself in that way, to start walking in that way, then it can cause problems for me in my life. All right? It causes problems. And so we need to understand that, so that to be carnally minded, to have that inclination towards the flesh, to carry fleshly things in your thoughts and in your mind and in your purposes, that's death. And the word death there is the word thanatos. And I like this this definition from Thayer. It's the death of the body. But then Thayer adds the misery of the soul arising from sin. The misery of the soul arising from sin. So when you begin to set your mind on the things of the flesh, this misery begins to take over your soul. And that's that death, you know, beginning to lay its claim again to your soul, or to oppress your soul. Because you're spiritually alive. You die, you go to heaven. But it's just, you know, if you're got your mind on fleshly things all the time, you're not going to have a very strong walk. You're not going to have a very joyful walk. You're not going to have a very peaceful walk. You're not going to walk in a lot of righteousness. And you're going to see that in a little bit, you know. And then it goes on to say, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, spiritually there, I always thought that was pneumatica, which is, you know, which is the word for spiritual things, okay? But actually there, it's not the word pneumatica, it's just the word pneuma, which means spirit or the Holy Spirit. So to be Holy Spirit-minded is life and peace. And that's what it's actually saying there. Not to be spiritually minded, but to be Holy Spirit-minded. Now, I think that the translators, when they put spiritually minded in there, they were adding not just distinctly and only the Holy Spirit, but all things that the Holy Spirit's involved in, all the things like the word, you know, obedience, you know, being led, all these different kinds of things that you're going to see in a moment. But to be spiritually minded, so they put spiritually there instead of spirit minded. But literally, it means but to be spirit-minded is life and peace. That's what it literally says. All right? Is life and peace. Now, if we want life and peace, then that's the key to being spirit. The key to that is being spirit-minded. You know, and again, it's the word for nema, inclination and purpose. All right? You know, what we have in our mind, our thoughts and our purposes. You know, what it boils down to, people, is that we've got to come to a place where we discipline our thoughts. And this is one of the things that I do pray for you guys, because in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, you know, that for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And the word sound mind is actually the word sophroniso, you know, to be. And a lot of versions of the New Testament translate that spot as being self-controlled or disciplined. But it's the word sophroniso literally means saved or delivered mind. And so when I pray for you, I use that scripture to pray, because there's three aspects of sophronismo that we need to be conscientious of. Is one is to be delivered in our thoughts, and then the next one is to be disciplined in our thinking. You know, and that's what this is really about, is being disciplined in your thinking. And then the third one, for those of you who want to know what the third one is to be sober in our outlook. Sober in how we look at things of the world and things around us. To be sober in that sense. To be, you know, to recognize that, you know, even though we're in the world, we're not of it. And to be careful about not abusing the things of the world, because they're passing away. So that's what I pray for us, all of us, for that, all right? And my goal is, you know, I know God can deliver my thoughts, but it's going to require, in order for me to stay sound in my thoughts, it's going to require me to become disciplined in my thinking. And so we've got to become disciplined in our minds to the Spirit of God. You know, like if God has given you a scripture to meditate on, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you. You know, if you're inspired to meditate on a certain scripture, meditating on that scripture is being spirit-minded. And if you set yourself to be spirit-minded, it becomes life and peace for you. And of course, the word life is the word zoe, and it means, you know, life. That's Strong's. Strong's just defines it as life. Thayer defines it as a state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate. In other words, active. And then it goes on to say life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed. Now this is, you know, this, it's implying having, you know, having that life and peace is implying that it's a blessed life, you know. And then he goes on to add, in the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ. In other words, even in this world, we're to be blessed. We can be blessed. Because we're putting our trust in Christ. We're going to be blessed for that. And, you know, everybody runs towards material blessings. If your mind is always running towards material blessings, you're a little bit off. And you need to understand that. If all you're ever thinking about is wealth and prosperity and, you know, how you can make more money and how you can have more and do more and all that kind of stuff. If that's how you are, you need to go in and get that adjusted. That's not a good way to live. That's a very fleshly way to live. You know, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That doesn't mean we've been blessed with every physical blessing in the earthly places. You know, it just means we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And if you're walking in spiritual blessing, people, if you're walking in those things, then you know what? It's going to affect and influence your natural life. But the moment you change your focus from that spiritual to that natural, you start losing what you have. And you start entering into that place of being carnally minded. And God's trying to deliver us from that. He's trying to help us up here in our minds. Because the only way that you can overcome the condition of being in this physical body and being, you know, this body of sin. And if you go look at, you got to understand, right before Romans 8 is Romans 7. And the whole end of Romans 7, Paul's bemoaning the fact that he's in this body of sin. He goes, who can deliver me from this body of sin? And then he goes on to say, thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he launches right into Romans 8:1 and talks about how we get free from the control and the dictates of the flesh in our bodies. And it's in our mind. It's what we're giving ourselves to thinking about all the time is a major source of that. Amen. So, you know, we need to consider now whether or not what are we going after? Amen. Now, if we're spirit-minded, it's life and it's peace. And peace is that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. So part of you being able to be content, part of you not fearing anything from God, part of you, you know, having that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, is that comes from being spirit-minded. All right, going after mentally, you know, putting your mind on the things of the Holy Spirit and on the Holy Spirit himself. Not just the things of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit himself, interacting with him personally. You know, being ready and willing to yield to him personally at any given moment. All right, now verse 7 goes on to say, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind, phronema, is enmity with God, against God. Enmity there means hostile, or by implication, a reason for opposition. That's Strong's definition. It's hostile towards God. It's hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. And the word subject there means, is the word hupotasso, which means to subordinate, reflexively to obey. There defines it as to obey or be subject. And this is where the prophecy comes in very powerfully right here. Because the carnal mind is hostile towards God, and it's not even capable of being obedient to the law of God. And what is the law of God? For us, it's very simple. It's the law of faith. It's the law of love. It's the law of hope. Whatever God tells us to do, you know, it's you know, having fruits of righteousness, which is us ministering to people around us and being a blessing and a benefit to others around us. And see, if we're in that carnal mind, we're in enmity, we're finding ourselves hostile towards God, we're not subject to the law of God, we're not obedient to the law of God, nor indeed can be. In other words, it's not even possible to be. You know, and nor can be or cannot, both of those are two words. It's the word O, which is not, and dunamai, which is to be able or possible. It's not possible for us if our minds are in the flesh, if we're predominantly given to thinking fleshly things, it's not possible for us to even be obedient to God. And then, of course, you have Romans 8:8, which says, so then those who are of the flesh cannot please God. It's not possible to please God. You know, through the idea of exciting emotion to be agreeable to God, or by implication to seek to be so. We're not even capable of seeking to be pleasing to God. But definitely we can't please God if our minds are on the flesh. If we're carnal minded, we can't please God, we can't obey God, we can't please God. But if we're spirit minded, not only can we please God, but we are pleasing God. Not only will we please God, but we will walk in life and peace. Amen? We will walk in life and peace. So the key thing here is where are our heads at? What are we thinking about? What's going on in our minds? Where is our mind running? And I'm going to tell you, if your mind runs 75% of the time, 80% of the time towards just natural things, and all you want to do is natural things. And believe me, I know what that is. I mean, you know, when I get a free moment, sometimes, you know, in that free moment, God goes, hey, you could spend some time in the Word, and I'll find myself doing something natural. That's the mindset on the flesh. Like it or not, Pastor Bill, that's your mindset on the flesh. If that's where your mind runs, is towards natural things rather than towards the things of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God himself, then I'm off. And so it's diminishing my life in peace. And it's increasing, you know, that whole thing of being in enmity and hostility with God and being unable to obey God and be subject to God and even please God. It diminishes my ability to please God. Just put it on that level. It diminishes my ability to life for life and peace, and it diminishes my ability to please God. All right. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. Now look at this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whew, thank you, Jesus, man. We got hope. We've got something going on that's good for us. Amen. You're not in the flesh, but in. Now, the reason why I underlined the preposition in is because one of the things about that word in the Greek, it's the word en. And that word in the Greek denotes fixed position. In other words, if you're in the Spirit, you're fixed in a fixed place of being in the Spirit. All right? Now, you're in the Spirit. You're fixed in the Spirit if indeed. If indeed is the word aper, which means if perhaps. If perhaps the Spirit of God dwells in you. I mean, Paul is just destroying my theology with this, man. I mean, seriously, the conditions that he's putting on this are blowing my mind. If indeed you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, and we think, oh, thank God I'm in the Spirit because I'm born again and, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But he puts, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the condition is that the Spirit of God, now we have it here in verse 9, very clear, that this whole passage is talking about the Spirit of God. Because he makes it clear in verse 9, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the condition is the Holy Spirit's got to be dwelling in us. Now, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I got born again. I got baptized. When I got born again, I got sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then later on, when I found out that there was another ministry of the Holy Spirit, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, theologically today, there's this huge argument that you only get, you know, all you need is to be saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that's all that, you know, that's what you get. Well, that's not what the practice of the early church was. The practice of the early church was when they found out somebody got saved, they went down there to find out, for them to receive the Holy Spirit. When Philip went into the city in Samaria and preached the gospel, and they took all their Satan books and, all their witchcraft books and burned them, when they burned them all, and then they heard what Philip said, they got saved, they were baptized, the whole city burned their books. And they all got saved. I mean, he had massive revival. And then it says in Jerusalem, when the disciples heard that city of Samaria had received the gospel, had received Jesus, they sent John and Peter down to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. They sent them down to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And John and Peter went down there to lay hands on them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So don't tell me that there's not a subsequent experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I know that there is. Paul went around. He went to Ephesus one day. He had preached there already, but he had come back to Ephesus and he found some guys, I think they were on the shore of a lake or on a beach or something like that. I don't remember. And then he asked them, he says, he saw them praying and he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? He asked them if they had received the Holy Spirit. And so then they said, no, we have not even heard that there was a Spirit, Holy Spirit. And he said, into what were you baptized? And they said, in the baptism of John. And he goes, oh, okay. So he had to preach Jesus to them. He preaches Jesus to them. They get baptized in the name of Jesus. And then he prays for them and they get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. All right, so that's subsequent. These guys went out there. They didn't just get people saved. They got them filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a reason for that, because there's a whole ministry that the Holy Spirit wants to fulfill through each and every one of you. And it requires that baptism. John the Baptist spoke of this. He says, I baptize with water, but there comes one after me who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand that Jesus came. Part of why he came was to die for our sins. But another reason why he came was so that he could go back to the Father and send the Holy Spirit into the earth. And that was the whole day of Pentecost, what happened through that. And so if the Spirit of God dwells in you now, now we know most of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, if not all of you. You know, you speak in tongues, great. But is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Well, yeah, Pastor, he's in me. No, there's a difference between being sealed in you and being and dwelling in you. Now, the Holy Spirit came in upon me and then went into me and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke with tongues, all right? But does that mean the Holy Spirit dwells in me? There are people that get filled with the Holy Spirit, they, you know, and they speak in tongues and then they never do it again. They never let the Holy Spirit have his place in their lives. If you want to follow Jesus, you have got to let the Holy Spirit have place in your life, because that's the key to following Jesus. Now, the word dwells there is the word okeo in the Greek. It literally means to occupy a house, to reside. Figuratively, it means inhabit, remain, and inhere. Now, the word inhere is where we get the word inherent, and it means to be an inseparable part of something. An inseparable part of something. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Either the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, or he's grieved with you. Because we're called to not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, if we're living our lives with our minds set on flesh, on the flesh, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. That's just a fact. And it's never going to be perfect. You know, you're going to get carnal thoughts. You know, you're going to get temptations to sin. But when you kill those in your thoughts, when you bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, when you bring your thoughts captive, that has no negative impact on you whatsoever. But if you get these thoughts to commit sin and these carnal thoughts and you start dwelling on them and letting them have place in you and you start, you know, thinking about them and most of your time you're thinking about that kind of stuff, guess what? You know, you've kind of pushed the Holy Spirit out a little bit. Not a little bit. I mean, not out completely. But you've pushed him into a room. Now, to dwells, look at, when you look at their's definition of okeo, it says to dwell in. Vine defines it as to dwell, and it comes from oikos, a house, and then Vine goes on to define it as to inhabit as one's abode. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. He's inhabiting us as his abode. We're his house. Is he occupying you? Is he having the run of you? See, to occupy the house, see, I live in our house, and my wife lives in our house, and, you know, we have the run of the house. We have full authority in the house. We can go into whatever room, we can, you know, do whatever we need to do or want to do in whatever room. We have the run of the house. It's our house. We live there. We dwell in it. Now, if all of a sudden, you know, somebody came into our house and they said, oh, you can only live in this one room, am I occupying that house? No. I'm consigned to a room. In essence, I'm a prisoner of one room. I don't have the, if I was going to go live in somebody else's house and they said, you know, you only have this one room and that's it, I don't have the run of the house. I'm not occupying the house. I have this little room. And sometimes I think that's where the Holy Spirit ends up. He occupies a little part of us. You know, he's kind of pushed over to a little part of us. And then we let other things run, have the run of our house. Think about that. Amen? Now, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, for him to dwell in you, you've got to learn to let the Holy Spirit have the run of you. Occupy you. All right, you need to let him have that place. And I'm going to be honest with you, there was a time, man, when the thought of of being just driven by the Holy Spirit used to just freak me out. And it bothered me. And then one day, the Holy Spirit, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit, and he says, listen to me. He said, I am not in you to run you like you're some kind of robot. That's not the way I work. That's not the way I work. He says, I'm here to help you. I'm here to direct you. I'm here to do these things for you, to be a benefit and a blessing to you. You got to remember the promise of the Spirit. What's the promise of the Spirit? Just that you get baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues? Heavens no. There's so much more to it. He'll show you things to come. He'll teach you all things concerning Christ. He'll lead and guide you. I mean, I'm going to get into some of that in a minute. And also the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God is in you because, you know, after you've received the Holy Spirit, you receive power. You know, once the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will be witnesses. You become empowered by the Holy Spirit. Your faith becomes empowered. It's a very powerful thing. All right? I mean, there's so much more to walking in the Spirit. You basically get what I mean, all right? Now, he goes on to say, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, guys, listen to me. That's not us. We're God's. We have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. But the question is now, are we going to let him have his place in us? Are we going to get our minds off of fleshly things, just natural things all the time? And let's just put it this way, get our minds off natural things all the time. I'm not even going to talk about sin. Just get our minds off of just the world. Get our minds off of just things we want. Get our minds off of how we can have what we want. How we can get back at people. How we don't like somebody. If we get our minds off of that and start putting our minds on the Holy Spirit, going after him, knowing him, learning to work with him, letting him live in us more fully. Amen. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that's not us. He is not his. And if Christ is in you, now look at this. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body, that's your physical soma, your body is dead. That word dead there is the word nekros, and it means, you know, inactive as respects to doing right. That's Thayer's definition. Strong's just says a corpse or dead. Your body is a corpse. It's dead because of sin. Thayer defines it metaphorically as inactive as respects doing right, destitute of force or power, inactive or inoperative. In other words, your body can't do anything right. It's not capable of following God naturally. It's dead because of sin. And of course, because of means through sin. So the word dia means through sin. It's dead through sin. But the Spirit, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 talked about, indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. All right? But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is life. Through, because of means through. The Holy Spirit is life through righteousness. And so as we begin, you got to understand, letting Holy Spirit have place in your life is key to that, to righteousness. And the key to letting the Holy Spirit have place in your life, in you, and so that you walk in the life of the Holy Spirit, is righteousness. We got to learn how to walk in righteousness, the righteousness that comes from us letting the Holy Spirit dwell in us. And of course, life, there's the word Zoe. Now, righteousness, dikosune, is specifically means Christian justification. But it includes that, but that's the starting point of that righteousness. Thayer defines it in a broad sense, the state of him who is as he ought to be, righteous. And that's really awesome here because the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if you define it that way, that it carries that meaning of, you know, that you're in the state of being who you ought to be. You're in a condition acceptable to God. Now I'm going to take it even a step further. Our righteousness includes our covenant relationship with God. Our righteousness includes the promises of God. Our righteousness includes, you know, our standing with God. So don't just look at righteousness as meaning our perfection, because through perfection, it doesn't mean that. It literally means right standing, you know, and in that right standing, you know, we have benefits and blessings that belong to us. One of them is to walk with God. One of them is to be led by the Spirit. One of them is that, you know, knowing what God has provided for us, you know, healing. It could be healing, needs met. It could be peace. It could be joy. I mean, you know, what does Paul say later on here in Romans? He says, you know, that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's part of it. So he ties the Holy Spirit to all of this. Because of sin, we're dead, you know. Our bodies are dead. But because of righteousness, the Holy Spirit becomes life to us. Now, this is really important in the next verse. So as you start walking in that righteousness, that right place, that right thinking, you know, where you're thinking along towards the lines of the Holy Spirit and everything that revolves around Him, the Word of God, obedience to God, the love of God, loving one another, ministering to one another. These are all conditions of that living and walking in spirit. All right? As you start walking in that, it becomes life to you. The Holy Spirit, He becomes life to you. Look at verse 11 now. This is a verse that I it's one of my personal verses. You know, that I have in my scriptures, and one that I pray over you guys. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, again that word dwells, oikeo, if He occupies you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. He'll give life. And the word give life, there's the word zoopoeo. And it means to revitalize. There defines it as to cause to live, to make alive, to give life. By spiritual power, to arouse and invigorate. To give increase of life, thus of physical life. He even includes physical life in this, which is what it's about, because He's giving life to your mortal bodies. And the word mortal means liable to die. You know, and He's doing it. Look at what it says. It says, but if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, in other words, we're letting Him have the run of the house. We're letting Him teach us. We're letting Him guide us and instruct us. We're letting Him have His place in our lives. If we're letting Him do that, all right, if He's dwelling in us, He who raised Christ from the dead, God who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life, revitalize, and reinvigorate, to make physically, you know, to give increase of life. He will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Through His Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, all of these promises of what God wants to do for us, the condition of our righteousness is built on the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The condition of Him being able to give life to our mortal bodies is on Him dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It's all about the Holy Spirit, people. And so it's time that we, if we're truly believers, if we're truly children of God, it's time for us to give that place to the Holy Spirit in our lives. To stop just living our lives our way and start living our lives based on what the Holy Spirit shows us. Some of you make plans and you go carry out your plans And the Holy Spirit has never been consulted on any of it. The Holy Spirit will tell you to do something and you won't do it because it's like, oh, maybe it was what I ate. And it's like you don't even know. You don't even know if it's the Holy Spirit. And that just shows the condition of where you're at, where your mind is. What is your mind being set on? If you set your mind on the Spirit, in other words, if you start inclining towards the Holy Spirit, you start thinking about it, you start studying the Word, you start praying, you start, you know, speaking in tongues, you start setting yourself towards the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden, all of these things become possible for us. These things start happening for us. We have life and peace. We're pleasing God. We're walking in righteousness. We're now capable of walking in our righteousness. And we're getting life given to our mortal bodies. You understand that? Amen. Well, I'm going to stop here for today and we'll pick up on this next week.